City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Bismarck edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, March 14th, and we're in the studios at Dakota Media Access. I'm Mary Van Sickle, along with Jason Timonic, Assistant City Administrator. And our special guest today is Brady Bless. I'm going to get your last name not pronounced right, Bleskowski.
That's correct. Thank you.
You are the Bismarck Building Official.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for coming here today. And Brady, we'll talk with you in depth about your department in just a little bit. But I think we want to start out by talking more about what happened at the City Commission last night, because that's what City Current is.
That's why we're here.
Usually here on Wednesday mornings, which is the morning after a City Commission meeting. Mm-hmm. So Bismarck City Commission met last night, and there were a number of things on the agenda. One of them, under consent agenda, was some appointments. Mm-hmm. We had a number of appointments last night. We had Human Relations Committee was had some appointees.
Yep. Planning Commission on the Animal Advisory Board. Animal Advisory Board. So that's three advisory boards with new faces.
Yeah.
So.
And the planning and zoning, two new faces. These are two absolutely new people to this Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yep.
An important board in the community that reviews all the new developments and
zoning
and new
ordinances,
zoning, all
annexation,
that stuff.
Special use permits, development proposals. There's a lot that goes through
hits planning,
planning and zoning committee
before it hits the City Commission.
Correct. Yep.
So these two new faces, Wendy Van Dyne and Kevin Martin.
Correct. Yep.
Yes. That's great. And vacancy occurred because Wayne Yeager retired or resigned after a while and moved on. So that's great to see. Also, I noticed the other day, Gloria David, your PIO, has sent out a news release saying that you're accepting applications for a parking authority member as
That's correct. Yep. Yeah. There's one seat open on the parking authority. It's a member at large, so it can be anybody from the community within the city of Bismarck. The parking authority does have some defined membership. There are certain people that have to own property that can be on the parking authority. They have to own property downtown. This position could be open to anyone.
Oh, okay. So. All right. And the parking authority has jurisdiction over the off-street parking that's owned by the city. Is
management of the ramps, the public parking ramps, and then the two or three surface lots that the city owns as well. But it's primarily parking downtown. Not on the street.
All right. And that term, we have any
I believe
idea?
It's a five-year term for parking authority.
So if anyone is interested in applying for a parking to sit on the parking authority, they could go to your website and there'll be more information.
Yeah,
there's
an application and a process that can be followed. The applications would be submitted to the Community Development Department.
BismarckND.gov.
BismarckND.gov.
There
you got
it. Another thing on your consent agenda last night, really another positive thing, great donation to the Bismarck Police Department.
Tremendous. Yeah. $37,000 from an anonymous donor or donors in our community going towards the police department for the procurement of another canine, a fourth canine, and supporting equipment and training and things like that as well. So thanks to those folks. That's just spectacular.
Yeah. It's a very, very substantial donation. And there was a donation just not long ago for the same thing.
Similar. Yeah.
Canine.
Absolutely.
For the police department. So
in response to two dogs that were lost last year.
Right.
Some retired, and then health reasons, they were unfortunately passed on.
Yeah.
So, but they are a critical part of the team at the police department. They rely on these canines frequently. So definitely appreciative of that support.
Very positive. Mm-hmm. Moving on to the regular agenda, City Administrator Keith Hunke gave a presentation on opportunity zones.
Correct. Yeah, this is kind of a new thing that's come out of the 2017 tax bill from Washington, D.C. What it is, it's identified areas based on census tracts within our community, and they're primarily focusing on low-income areas of our community. And the purpose of the opportunity zones is to incentivize redevelopment from underutilized parcels. So Keith had ranked three of the four identified parcels in our community of where there is a high possibility of redevelopment opportunities. So the next step is simply to apply with the state to see if we would be selected for this program.
And I think that's important to draw out. Basically, all it was he was looking for permission to apply.
Correct.
And that process will start now.
This is basically step one
of
a brand new program that's been unveiled by federal government.
And as I understand, the rules aren't quite all clear on this yet either.
Correct.
Exactly how it's going to work. Yeah. But one of the things that Keith provided was a map that showed some of those zones that have already been identified. Mm-hmm. So through that map, which we can pop up on the screen, thank you, Ben, identifies four different zones in Bismarck that could be eligible for these opportunity zones.
That's right.
And what that means, these opportunity zones, it's opportunities for investors to invest in community projects within those zones, and then will result in some tax incentives,
federal
for
tax
those
incentives.
In the investors.
Correct.
But again, the rules aren't all 100% right now, so we can't say much more than that. But these are the four zones that Keith proposed last night, and the commission agreed to move forward on.
Correct. And for those that are listening and don't have access to the screen, we can kind of describe. So on the west edge of town, we're looking basically Washington Street to 9th Street, and then Boulevard Avenue down to Bowen Avenue. That would be the first priority area. The second would be continuing directly east of that from 9th Street all the way over to 26th, and then from all the way down basically to University Drive to the south edge of town. So it covers a pretty good chunk of our community. Mm-hmm. I would call it maybe some of the older parts of our community, the neighborhoods that were here early on. But we will definitely be taking a look at this program as it continues to develop and see if there are opportunities here for not just residents, but business owners. And obviously there's some value in this for the city by redeveloped properties that would then generate higher property taxes, more opportunities, more jobs, more potential
housing.
Living places. Absolutely.
Right.
A variety of things.
Right.
So this is going to be an exciting one that we'll keep an eye on, and we'll keep listeners up to date as we learn more.
Yeah, well, and we need to learn a more. There's not a lot of details
That's
yet.
Right.
So we'll,
it's a little vague, but we'll keep an eye on it for sure.
You'll bring it back to us.
Definitely.
Thank you. Another item on the agenda last night, and it was a fairly lengthy discussion, had to do with Bisman Transit. Mm-hmm. Roy Rickert came in and gave an update.
Yep.
Of where things are at. In December of 2016, there were a number of changes made to Bisman Transit. Some of them not so easy changes for the community to absorb at this point. So he gave an update. You want to capsulize that a little bit? About
sure.
A
couple changes, route changes. There was a route that went out to the University of Mary that was a pilot project or a test run. They did some changes to the fee structure, and then there were some changes to paratransit as well. And as Roy shared with the commissioners last night, some of the changes weren't as well received. There were some folks that have had some negative impacts as a result of some of the route changes. Some of the ridership has dropped a little bit. Roy attributed that to a higher rate structure, a higher fee schedule for the riders. Not all the best news for paratransit or Bisman Transit, but certainly this is a transitional process. There has been a very concerted effort to keep public transit an opportunity in our community, and paratransit is very much a part of that, and we realize what a valuable service that is for some. I think it is worth mentioning, although some of the concerns are raised by the residents and the participants, the city of Bismarck is really not the oversight of transit. They have their own board, they have their own decision-making process, and the city is more of an advisory role in this, so I understand that we get some of the comments. That's totally appropriate.
It seems understandable that people would make that assumption, but I think that's a good point to bring out.
It should be noted that transit does have a board that will receive comment. They have public meetings. They are posted agendas and things like that on a regular basis. So although we appreciate the comments, we may not have the ability to influence some of those changes.
Sure. I think the mayor had a good point in basically when he wrapped it up and said that transit's a difficult issue for most communities.
It is.
They rarely, if ever, make money.
Right.
And even breaking even is a bit of a challenge. So there's some painful decisions that had to happen a little more than a year ago, and now we're kind of
seeing some of those results,
right? I think the other thing that's unique to this community is that we didn't have public transit for a long time.
Right.
We started with a paratransit system, and it was well run and very generous, and that system existed for a long time. So when we have new regulations, new management, mm-hmm. new direction for transit, they had to make some of these changes, and paratransit is certainly affected in this mm-hmm. in all of these moves as well.
Yeah, the paratransit system that was in place for years was just simply unsustainable from a financial perspective. So these changes are in response to some changes at the federal level as well, some of the funding that was coming right. through. So it's not that they were intending to have any harm or ill will towards anyone. These are a result of federal mandates and guidelines that are coming down as well.
Right. Still a lot of questions. And again, Roy was there just to give an update. He mm-hmm. didn't. There was no action taken by the commission.
Right. And we still have public transit on the fixed route. We still have public transit provided by paratransit. It's just a little different than some may remember in the recent past.
Mm-hmm. All right. The other, another item on your agenda last night, and that was you presenting on a strategic plan, moving
That's right.
forward with a new strategic plan mm-hmm. that will probably encompass the next 3 years, 5 years?
3 to 5 is what we're thinking. Okay. And the last time we completed strategic planning was in 2012. So we're a little beyond our 5-year window, but I did a quick synopsis of some of the goals and objectives just internally to see what we had accomplished. And as the mayor noted, close to 95% of what we had set out to do in that 2012 strategic plan has either been realized, achieved, or is in some form of implementation and process.
Okay.
So it served us well, the 2012 plan, but now we're looking to the next 3 to 5 years and how do we get there? So this will be a very robust process. We certainly want to note that there will be a lot of opportunity for public engagement mm-hmm. along the way. We'll be talking about it here throughout the process.
Yeah.
So. We're looking to probably get kicked off in June with hopefully having a consultant and things like that lined up and ready to go.
And you were at the commission last night asking for permission to release an RFP,
Correct.
Request for proposal
yep.
for a consultant to come in
for
and
strategic
help
planning
guide.
Services.
Okay.
Yep. And we're hoping to either have that out by Friday of this week or Monday of
wow.
next week. So
you're ready to go.
I was working on it just before we came over here this morning. So. We are excited about this. Commissioner Oban stepped up and wants to help volunteer and lead the charge from the commission's perspective. So this is going to be exciting.
It seems somewhat specialized for a consulting firm to be involved in these. How many firms do you expect to respond to a request?
We're hoping to see close to a dozen
okay.
or so. I think that you're right. This is a very specialized niche for some of these folks, but at the same time, those that do it very well. And this might be all they do. And last time we did this, we had a really good response and we had a very good consultant that led us through the way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping for similar results this time around.
And we'd assume as well that it'll depend upon the consultant and their process that they
right.
use of what kind of community input you're going to be looking for.
Definitely. And we can help specify some of that as well, whether it be through surveys or community input or
sure.
after-hours meetings. Those were some of the things we had done before.
After-hours meetings.
After-hours meetings for city staff. It could, it happens. We do work after 5 sometimes. So, but touching on the 2017 Mayor's Livability Summit, Mayor Seminary mentioned it again last night. There were over 1,200 respondents
sure.
to that survey. We want to use that energy to help dovetail into this because those two processes blend very well
mm-hmm.
together. So
oh, yeah.
in the end, it's all about the community. It's all about guiding our decisions and where we want to be and how we want to get there.
Sure. All those studies overlap and
definitely.
Use all that information. And also, Commissioner Oban has volunteered to oversee it from
mm-hmm.
the commission.
Yes.
He'll
yep.
be the representative guiding it through along
Absolutely.
With you as the head staff.
Yeah, for lack of another term, I guess I would be the project manager.
Okay.
We've got a project team primarily composed of city staff plus one commissioner. So
okay.
we'll be the working group, but there will be lots of opportunities for the public and city staff and just interested stakeholders to be a part of it.
Sure. Now, you mentioned maybe June. It could possibly kick off the process. We could start. How long do you think the whole study
you know,
will take.
It might depend on the consultant a little
yeah.
bit. I would be surprised if we're done in any less than 6 months. I'm thinking somewhere between 6 and 9 months is a
okay.
reasonable timeline.
Okay.
We want to be able to capture everything and then start moving forward as
so
quickly as
So by year
can.
End, we may have a report.
It's a possibility.
Summer.
Yeah,
okay.
definitely.
Certainly a year from now, you would anticipate that being completed.
I would hope so. Barring
okay.
any natural disasters or anything that would
sure.
cause us to take a pause, we would like to move straight through.
Well, and we had to do it with the flood. Isn't
we
that
did
why
in,
the first project was somewhat delayed?
It was. We
the
actually,
last one.
I was part of that project team, a very fortunate opportunity, but we did have the flood in the summer of 2011. So
sure.
we did call time out and rebooted in early 12 and finished up.
took a step back.
We did.
All right. Well, that completes all our agenda discussions last night. Well, I'm going to step back from that statement and say, Brady, as building our building official, you were on the agenda last night giving an update to the commissioners on your department and some ordinances that have been changed, some codes, I should say, that have been changed, and some of the costs associated with that. So can you kind of capsulize your report last night, what you reported to the commission?
Yeah, certainly. What I reported to the commission was a response to some concerns that some of one of our local builders had with regard to some of the costs that were incurred to those code changes that had happened in the past. We just wanted to respond to the commission and inform them of, you know, that we were aware of the cost changes, why those changes were necessary, and just really let them know that we do understand those costs.
Sure. I want to step to to the website real quick and let people know how they can find you. Sure. And find out more about what the department does. I mean, it's pretty in-depth there. But as far as navigating to it, again, your website, we'll have to bring it up again, bismarcknd.gov. That's where you can go under government, going to community development, and once in community development, just going into building and inspections. You can go to your department, and there's a number of tools in there for citizens or builders. First and foremost is building and design criteria. I mean, obviously, hugely important, and I would think most developers and builders are very familiar with this, but it's all there, and all the links are here, and you can find out that information. If someone is interested in making changes to their property, to their structures, and this might be a good starting place to know what can be done.
Absolutely. This shows what codes have been adopted in the city of Bismarck, as well as our geographic criteria. When it goes into designing a building for a design professional that happens to be from out of state, they can find this quickly. And
for certain things, I guess some people may not realize when a permit or an inspection is required. Simple things like even replacing your water heater, you should be pulling a permit, or the person installing your water heater should be pulling a permit. Some of the other things that you look for as far as permitting goes, Brady?
Permitting, I guess we handle permitting for buildings, for plumbing, for mechanical, sign installations, manufactured homes, really a lot of different permits that our division handles. We do floodplain administration and zoning enforcement as well.
And what does that involve?
Floodplain administration. Yeah.
So floodplain administration, or the management of development within the floodplain areas. We oversee just those development processes. So if someone would come in to get a building permit, for example, to build a home, and that home happened to be in the floodplain, we would ask for specific information, elevation of the home.
Okay.
Just really making sure that those structures that are built in those floodplain areas are safe.
Okay. Special conditions, obviously.
Correct.
And involved with building in that area.
And he said it right at the end of his sentence. He said, making sure those structures are safe. It's all about public safety with building inspections, making sure that what's being built is built to code, but it's also going to stand the test of time, and it's there for generations. Public safety.
Right. Permits. Do you administer the permits then, building permits?
Yes, we do.
You do that as well in your office,
too? We have
too.
Office staff. We've got three office staff at our front counter that help the public, contractors, developers with those permits.
Okay. I've got it up on the screen here, too, what permits are required for. And that's all on your website as well. So it really shows everything that you need a permit for. And your department is the department that will look at this and give permits out for this and then inspect it.
Correct.
As a follow-up.
Yep.
Okay.
And there are 7 inspectors in your division that are out in the field every day?
Every day. We've got 7 inspectors that are out doing inspections, same-day inspections.
I saw that on your website, same-day inspections. That seems like way above and beyond service.
It's very responsive.
Pretty incredible, yeah. But I suppose as builders are out in the field and maybe, you know, working ahead of schedule or whatever it might be, maybe they don't anticipate, they need an inspection done before they can move forward on a project.
Correct.
Yeah.
We do those same-day inspections. really for their benefit to make sure that those construction processes get done as quickly as possible. We've got a short window of time that construction can take place in North Dakota, as you can imagine. So yeah. I think it's important to them to provide that level of service.
So what's the hardest part of your job? I mean, I would think as building inspector, you might not be Mr. Popular all the time.
That's probably true. you know, it is difficult sometimes. Obviously, we are there to help and facilitate, you know, that development process. But generally, when someone's approaching us after they've gotten their permit or after there's, you know, a project started, it's because there is some some hiccup, some problem that's occurred. So resolving those issues with, you know, contractors, home builders, it's even property owners, for that example, someone takes some time off of work or takes the weekend to build a deck or put a shed up. You know, they had a lot of pride put into doing that with their own two hands. So it's difficult when you have to make some changes or suggestions as to how they need to do
sometimes
something differently.
You have to say no a lot.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate part. But when the answer is no, it's not because we don't like the project or we don't like something about it. It's because the codes just simply don't allow those methods.
Sure. And you said earlier, too, that you know, you've been in the position 4 years officially in this position, although you've been with the city longer than that. That it's also very rewarding.
Yeah.
And I would think that this rewarding part of it comes from the fact that what you're doing is for public safety.
Absolutely.
And is for longevity of construction and codes that are built into our community.
Right. Like I said, we generally deal with the individuals that may have a concern or an issue that they're trying to resolve. But, you know, you kind of hold on to those times where you're working with somebody at the front counter and, you know, they generally appreciate your time and appreciate the help that you provide to them.
So occasionally you get that thank you?
Absolutely, yeah. I hold on to those emails or remember those things.
If I can, Mary, Brady a couple times now has mentioned the front counter. So it's not just about the website. You can come down and talk to the plans examiner, the residential plans examiner. The physical office is downtown, 221 North 5th Street, where
in the
city county building, where several departments are. And they're strategically located next to Community Development's Planning Division and then right across the hall from City Engineering. So we like to think that it's a bit of a one-stop shop for many people because the answer Brady's team may offer might have an impact on another division. So then they can work with either planning or engineering to make sure that everybody is comfortable with the project going forward.
Okay. So. All right. You mentioned sign permits.
Yeah.
So we have a sign ordinance for the community and... So you're basically checking to see if it's meeting those requirements.
Correct.
And how often do you run into a violation in sign ordinance?
You know, most of our sign review is zoning review. We're looking at basically in our downtown area mainly. We've got a lot more provisions in our ordinance for signage to maintain a certain, you know, theme in that area. So.
Right.
It isn't often that we come up with problems, violations, but there's, you know, often discussion about the size, the type, the, you know, location of signs, that kind of thing on properties.
That's part of the review process to make sure that before anything is built, the proposal is appropriate. So there may be changes to the initial review that come in, and that's where Brady and his team will work with those consultants and the contractors that are going to be installing those signs to make sure that they meet all the regulations we've got.
Okay. Have we talked about everything in your department? Is there anything we're missing that you'd want to draw out a little bit here?
You know, I think we've kind of covered the broad strokes of what we do there.
It's a big department and a lot of activity, as you said, too.
Definitely.
I mean, the people are coming up to the second floor.
Yep.
You're in the second floor of the city county building because I would think there is a lot of hands-on reviewing of plans.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, before you even get to the permit process,
frequent visitors to the front counter in building inspections.
No question
about it.
Well, thanks for coming in, Brady.
Absolutely,
it's been really good to talk a little more in depth about what your department does.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason, thank you for
coming in. It's a pleasure as always.
All right, we'll see you next time.
I'll be here.
Thank you
for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.